Begin this morning here from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 6 through 15, and we'll look at this section over a couple of weeks. The verses we'll look at specifically this morning will be verses 6 through 10. But the section holds together. So let's stand and hear God's word from Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. Colossians 2 and 6, the word of God says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Let's pray. Our Father, again, we ask that as we hear Your word, that You would give us ears to hear. Father, that You would sink it into our hearts, that it would shape our lives, that You would use it to sculpt our souls more into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that You would bless the reading and the preaching of Your word this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, on Tuesday evenings, a group of us here from Covenant of Grace have been going through the Shepherding the Child's Heart material. And the Shepherding a Child's Heart material is a study that seeks to apply biblical principles to parenting. And this morning, I'm going to borrow an illustration from that material, and I'm going to use it in the service of our text here from Colossians. I'm going to use it as an image to try to help us understand, to try to apply the Spirit's words here in Colossians. So I need you to give me now a minute or two to set this up. I need you to follow me here with this. If you want to just flip your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, if you have them open, I'll read verses 1 through 3. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that it may live long on the earth." And now this is the illustration that comes from the Shepherding the Child's Heart material. In effect, that you can picture what Paul says there in Ephesians 6, you can picture what he's saying in those verses as drawing a circle. Drawing a circle. And the boundaries of that circle are honor and obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and a mother. And Paul draws a circle then whose boundaries are honor and obey. And then Paul calls for children to live in that circle. You know, as long as children honor and obey their parents, they're inside that circle. If they dishonor, if they disobey their parents, they have transgressed. They have stepped out of the circle. And the circle here that Paul draws for children to live in is a circle of blessing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Paul says to children, if you will honor and obey your parents, it will go well with you. You will live long. There is blessing in staying in that circle. And conversely, if you step out of the circle, if you disobey, if you dishonor, you have now stepped into a place where it will not go well with you, where you cannot expect God's blessing. And then our job as parents is to teach and encourage our children to live in that circle. When they transgress the circle, we're called to discipline them, to bring them back into it. That illustration there, it's called in the material, the circle of blessing illustration. Okay, now what I want to do is take that whole circle of blessing idea, and I want to bring it to our text in Colossians. The text that we've read this morning in Colossians is a key text in the book of Colossians. Arguably, it is the central passage of the book. A number of commentators would assert that chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 stand as the theme for the entire book. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding it with thanksgiving. And then Paul makes the application, verse 8. Don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Because, as he says in verse 9, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, verse 10, are filled in Him. And if you notice throughout the text, the Apostle Paul continually talks of the believer as being in Christ. You know, you could take your highlighter, highlight those words, in Him, all the way through these verses. Verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Verse 7, you are rooted and built up in Him. Verse 10, you are complete in Him. Verse 11, in Him you were also circumcised. Verse 12, you were buried with Him, raised with Him. Verse 13, He has made you alive with Him. As a believer, you are in Christ. And I have noted that this idea of being in Christ, it's a frequent theme in Paul's epistles, that the believer is in Christ. He's spiritually united to Christ. But that whole idea of being in Christ, it's a little elusive. You know, what's exactly that mean to be in Christ? What's that mean to be united to Christ? You know, I've tried to explain it different ways at different times. Commentator Douglas Moo calls it a rich idea that defies analysis or description. But of course, I'm going to try to describe it and analyze it here. And here's how I'm going to suggest that you think of it this morning. And I'm hoping this will be helpful. I want you to think of being in Christ in terms of that circle of blessing illustration. You know, picture a circle. Picture a circle with you in the middle of it. That circle is Christ. You know, and this is you in Christ. This is the circle in which you live. And it's a circle of blessing. It's a glorious place to be. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things have been created through Him, by Him, for Him. Because in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. And brothers and sisters, if you are a believer, God in His grace has moved you into this circle. Chapter 1:13, He's delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Chapter 1, verse 21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body through His flesh, through death. If you are a believer, God in His grace has brought you into Christ. He's brought you into this circle. Verse 6, you have been rooted in Christ. You are now being built up in Christ. And having received Christ, having been moved into this circle, what God now calls you to do in this passage is stay in it. Stay in this circle. Walk in Christ. Live in Christ. Don't stray out of the circle. Don't dishonor the Lord. Don't disobey the Lord. Don't turn your back on the Lord. Stay in Him. Stay in Christ. And that brings us to the theme of this morning's sermon. It's drawn directly from verse 6. You are in Christ, therefore live in Christ. You're in Christ, therefore live in Christ. Or again, to use the circle imagery as an illustration, you're in the circle. You're in Christ, you're in the circle. Stay in the circle. First of all, recognize, and then the two points are you are in Christ, stay in Christ. Walk in Christ. First of all, recognizing that Paul is talking to the believer in these verses. You are in Christ. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul writes. You know, you can think here perhaps of something being delivered to you. You know, picture the UPS truck pulling up in front of your house. You know, that's almost always a welcome sight, isn't it? To have the UPS truck pull up in front of your house. Something's being delivered to you. Pulls up in front of our house. I always wonder, well, is it coming to our house or is it across the street? Oh, he's coming to our house. Something you ordered is here. Someone has sent you a package. You know, Christmas time, anything more wonderful than seeing that UPS truck pull up to your house? And you receive it. You receive the gift that someone has sent you. You receive the books that you've ordered. You know, you have received it. Maybe here when we talk about receiving, you could think of some sort of valuable, precious heirloom that is being handed down from one generation to another. And one generation receives it from the next. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. In effect, He has been brought to you. He's been delivered to you in all of His fullness. The image of the invisible God, creator of all things, firstborn from the dead, head of the church. He's been delivered. He's been brought to you and you received Him. You took possession of Him. You moved into the circle. And just note here that the Jesus you received is Jesus Christ, the Lord. You know, the Jesus that was delivered to you, that is in you, is not just Savior. It's not just a get-out-of-hell ticket that's been delivered to you. Not just something you can put in your pocket, forget about it, and then, you know, pull it out when you need it. He is the Lord. He is Master. He is Ruler. You know, this is the emphasis that Paul makes in the opening chapter of Colossians. He is the Supreme Lord over all powers and authority. His Word has the utmost authority. This is the emphasis that's made by the apostles. You know, I came across this note this week. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from a century ago, says that it's interesting to notice that the apostles preach the lordship of Christ. The word Savior occurs only twice in the book of Acts. Only twice. On the other hand, it's amazing to notice that the title Lord is mentioned 92 times. Lord Jesus 13 times. The Lord Jesus Christ 6 times in the same book. The gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We'll hold on to that idea. We'll come back to it in a little bit because the circle that you're in is the circle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will have implications for what it means about staying in the circle. But you have received Christ the Lord. Paul says you have been rooted in Christ. He uses agricultural, gardening imagery to describe your relationship with Christ. You know, kids, have you ever planted anything? Have you ever planted anything? Have you ever planted flowers? Have you ever planted seeds? What do you do when you plant something? Well, you dig down into the dirt. You dig down into the dirt. And then you put the seeds, or maybe you put the roots of the plant down into the dirt, and you cover up the roots. You cover up the seed. And then what happens to the roots of the plant as the plant grows? Those roots go down, down into the ground. And some plants have roots that go deep into the ground. That's why they're hard to pull up. Because their roots go down so deep. As a believer, Paul says you have been planted in Christ. You know, in this case, God is the gardener, and He has firmly rooted you in Christ. You used to be out there alienated from God in the darkness, but now God has firmly planted you in Christ. He has planted you in this circle of blessing. He has planted you in it. And there's blessing in being planted in Christ. You know, no matter what life brings, no matter what sort of chaff would swirl around us, God says He has rooted us in Christ. You know, Paul, I think, is drawing on the Old Testament imagery of the tree that's planted by the riverside. Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." Why? Why is that man blessed? Jeremiah says, because he shall be like the tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know, this goes back to last week's sermon about the mystery of God, Christ in you. Because of our being rooted in Christ, because of Christ in us, we are able not to fear when He comes. The leaf will be green. We will not be anxious in the year of drought. Able to be patient in tribulation. Able to be content, to be thankful, to produce fruit. You have been rooted in Christ. You have been rooted in this circle that is Christ. And Paul goes on to say, you are now being built up in Christ. You know, Paul moved from the past, you were rooted, to the present. You are being built up. The New American Standard Version gets the verb tenses accurately as to what Paul's saying. Having been firmly rooted in Him, past tense, and now being built up in Him, present tense. You know, Paul mixes his metaphors here. He moves from the agricultural to the architectural. Okay, kids, now picture yourself as building something out of blocks, out of Legos. You know, when you first start, it doesn't look like much. You know, you're just getting started. Mom and Dad says, "What are you building?" You say, "Well, I'm building a tower." But you can't tell yet because you're just getting started. But as you keep building, as you keep adding blocks to it, it becomes something. It becomes a tower. It becomes a building. You know, the same way when you're driving around and you see something being constructed around here. At first, there's just a hole in the ground. There's a flat floor. But as the men work on it, the walls go up, the roof goes on it, and it becomes a complete building. So Paul says, God is building us up in Christ. He is at work in us. You know, it might not look like much at the beginning. But slowly, God is working to make us look more like Christ. He is establishing us in this circle. And again, this is part of the blessing of being in Christ, of being in that circle. Because maybe there'd be times in your life where you feel like there is such little spiritual growth. There's such little progress being made in your life. Maybe at times because of sin, in effect, you sort of temporarily dismantle what God has done. But God remains at work. He remains at work, even in those times when it would seem to be slow. He is conforming us to Christ. You are now being built up in Christ. Lastly, Paul says, being established and strengthened in the faith. You know, Paul, one more time, mixes metaphors. It's now a legal metaphor. The language that Paul uses here is the language of guaranteeing a contract. As the verb applies to us, God is binding us in the faith. You know, you could sort of picture it here as tying us down to the faith, as in the sense something is tied down so it doesn't blow away in a storm. He's strengthening us in the faith. Believer, you are in Christ. You're in the circle. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord, having been rooted and being built up in Him, established, strengthened in the faith. You are in Christ. You're in the circle. And so Paul now says, second point, walk in Christ. Live in Christ. Stay in the circle. You know, this is a classic illustration of what I've often said. The imperative is rooted in the indicative. The imperative is a statement of command. The indicative statement is a statement of fact. God's command to us, His imperatives, are rooted in what He's done for us. The indicatives. The commands are rooted in the reality. The reality, believer, is you're in Christ. The command that then follows is walk in Christ. Live in Christ. Stay in the circle. You receive Christ Jesus as Lord. That's the circle you live in. Christ is Lord. Serve Him as Lord. Honor Him. Obey Him. You know, God has redeemed you from the dominion of darkness, brought you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So leave the darkness behind. You know, for the most part, most of us live in a very nice, polite culture. You know, it's not like we live in Haiti, where you could see the voodoo and the spiritual darkness. You know, most of us don't see the violence that pervades an inner city. You know, but this time of year, we approach Halloween. You know, and people decorate their houses for Halloween. In effect, you get the darkness sort of pictured for us. You know, as these sort of gruesome displays are put up on houses. That's what we've been rescued from. That sort of darkness, that power of sin and Satan, the dominion of death, and we have been brought into this circle of life, this circle of righteousness, this circle of holiness. Don't toy then with that darkness. You know, our culture loves to toy with it. You see it at Halloween. You see it in the popular culture. You see it in movies and music. You know, the temptation for all of us, maybe for some of you young people more so, who've grown up in the church, is to want to move, you know, to the edge of the circle. You know, to look over there, to see what's there. But there's nothing there but death. You know, Paul will say whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Because this is the circle that you now live in. Living in the circle, walking in Christ means, as Paul will say later in Colossians, to put to death, therefore, whatever doesn't belong, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, rid yourself as all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Because they're not part of the circle that is Christ. Rather, submit to Christ the Lord. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. We have a family in our street that decorates their house for Halloween. You know, if they were doing judging in North Aurora, they could win. And it's a rather gruesome, disturbing display. You know, but come the 1st of November, they put all those Halloween things away. And the end of November, they decorate for Christmas. And it's very pretty. It's lovely. They could win the Christmas display contest as well. But in effect, what Paul says to us who are in the circle, who are in Christ, what happens with our neighbor's house is to happen in our lives as believers. We're to put away those gruesome things. And the things that Paul lists, sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, they are gruesome things. And then to decorate your lives in a manner that adorns Christ. You know, Paul will flesh out later in the book what that specifically looks like in specific situations. You know, when Paul will later say, chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. He's saying, wives, honor and obey the one you have received as Lord by submitting to your husbands. Because submitting to your husbands is part of what it is to live in that circle that is Christ. Paul will speak to children in Colossians 3. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Again, the motivation there is because you are in the Lord. You honor the one you have received as the Lord by obeying your parents. Obeying your parents is part of what it is to stay in that circle that is Christ. You know, by implication, the words addressing men as husbands and fathers to love their wives and not embitter their children is part of what it is to honor and obey the one you've received as Lord. It's what it is to stay in that circle that is Christ. To treat people right is part of what it is to honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Bondservants, obey your in all things your masters according to the flesh. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. For you serve the Lord. You receive Jesus Christ the Lord. Walk in Him. Stay inside the circle. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You received Christ Jesus the Lord. Walk in Him. Stay in Him. Everything that Paul gives by way of instruction is based on that idea, that premise, that you are in Christ. And the call then is to walk in Him, live in Him. And again, brothers and sisters, there is blessing inside this circle. It is in Christ that there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's in Christ that we are reconciled to God. This is a complete circle. Verse 9, Paul says, "For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You know, that's sort of temple language. Just as in the Old Testament, God's glory, that glory cloud, came and filled the temple. God's glory filled Jesus. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And then in verse 10, you are complete, or more literally, you have been filled in Him. Just as God filled Christ, Christ in turn, believer, has filled you. The mystery of God, Christ in you. And because Christ dwells in you, you are able to grow in righteousness and live for righteousness. Paul will say, don't let anyone cheat you. Don't let anyone take you captive with philosophy and empty deceit. In the ancient world, the idea of philosophy had a broader meaning than it did today. In effect, it referred to all religious thought. You know, at a university in the ancient world, you wouldn't have a philosophy department and a religious studies department because it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Beware of religious thought and empty deceit. The words empty deceit describe the sort of philosophy, the religious thought that Paul is talking about. In effect, the NIV gets it right when it translates it, don't be taken captive by hollow and empty philosophies. Don't be taken captive by hollow and empty religious thoughts. Religious ideas that are according to man, that are according to elementary things. Religious ideas that are not according to Christ. Ideas that do not exalt Christ, that detract from Christ. Don't be taken captive by them. Don't let yourself be snatched out of the circle that is Christ and be taken captive by them. And brothers and sisters, those same sort of voices are heard in our culture. They're heard in our culture. You know, they cry out, hey, there's something better over here. There's something worth looking at over here. Leave the circle that is Christ and come over here. Because they cry out, Jesus Christ is not enough. He's not enough. You need this religious instruction. You need this way of thinking. And brothers and sisters, with regard to those voices, you have to ask, does that religious idea exalt Jesus Christ? Does it bring you, does it bring others, does it bring us closer to Christ? You know, there can be sort of a Christian variation of that cry. Oh, you need this teacher. You need R.C. Sproul. You need John Piper. You need Joshua Harris. Your church needs this program. You know, and those are godly, Christ-honoring men and teachers. There are great programs the church can avail themselves of. But in effect, they can be elevated to the point where sometimes people say, well, you really have to have them in order to know Christ. Or if you really want to get Christian living down, you know, you have to read what Piper said on this. You know, well, the Church of Jesus Christ got along for years without John Piper. It'll get along for years without him. He's a godly man, but he's not to be elevated in the sense that it said, oh, you have to have this to really be complete. Because you have been filled in Christ, Paul says. You know, the voices will cry out, the circle is too restrictive. Oh, I see that circle you're living in. That means you can't do this, doesn't it? Means you can't do that, doesn't it? There's greater freedom over here. But again, to use the old illustration, brothers and sisters, that's like telling the train, there's greater freedom if you leave the tracks and come over here. It's not greater freedom. The blessing is inside the circle. Don't be taken captive by empty and hollow religious ideas. And lastly, abound in thanksgiving. This goes back to verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. You receive Christ Jesus the Lord. You are rooted and built up in Him, established in Him, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. That's part of what it is to live in this circle. It's part of what it is to stay in the circle. To abound in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God in Christ. It's the gateway to contentment. It's the gateway to joy. It's a gateway to knowing greater peace. Abounding in thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, you are in Christ. Live in Christ. You are in the circle. Firmly rooted. Being built up and established in the faith. Stay in the circle. Stay in the circle. Live in Jesus Christ. Walk in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, give us the grace to more and more see clearly the fullness of blessing that is found in Jesus Christ. To see the greatness of His glory and grace. Father, to praise You for what You have done in our lives by transferring us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of Your love. And then, Father, help us to hear Your Spirit say to us, You have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Live in Him. Father, give us the grace to stay in the circle and to know the fullness of blessing that's found there. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.